Amen. It's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting today. Again, I want to thank everybody for pressing their way out. I have a friend named Pastor Victor Foster. He always says, thank everybody for pressing their way out. And sometimes it can become a press to get somewhere, but I really thank everybody for coming out. Let's go ahead and get into Biblical Elements for Daily Living, number 8. But before we get into what the Lord would have for us to do, let's go ahead and kind of go over some of the points from last month to get our spirit moving in that right direction. And if anybody would like to have notes from last month, I have some over there. And it was a great teaching. And last month was mature love. So just a couple points from last month. We talked about Galatians 5:6. Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love. Faith works by love. So if our love increases, so shall our faith. Let me say that again. As our love increases, so shall our faith. So faith worketh by love.
Right.
At the same measure, our love increases, our faith will. No more, no less. That's, you know, it's not open-ended, and, you know, it's at the same measure. God always works at the same measure. So the more love that we have for God, the more love that we have for our family, the more love that we have for our fellow man, the more faith we will have. True point. Amen. Number 2 is the absence of fear is faith. Let me say that again. The absence of fear is faith. And so then the absence of faith is fear. So those are mutually exclusive. You cannot be in fear and in faith. It doesn't happen that way. Either you are fearful or you are faithful. And of course, God wants us to be in faith. Point number 3 is Jesus' death on the cross has set us at liberty from the fear of death. Remember, we talked about death and the fear of death. But Jesus' death on the cross has set us at liberty. We are free from the fear of death. And we look at Hebrews 2:14-15. Point number 4, we are at liberty now to do God's will and walk where He wants us to walk, not to do our own thing. So God sets us free and we're at liberty. We don't have to worry about death. We're going to worry about all of this stuff. So now we're going to go ahead and do what we want to do. Well, no, that's wrong. We must go ahead and do. God has set us liberty and freedom to go ahead and do what He wants us to do, to walk in His ways and do the will that He wants for us. Either we are yoked to God or we're yoked to the devil. Because we're all slaves.
Yep.
Amen? We're all slaves.
Yep.
Either we're a slave to God or we're a slave to Satan. Either we're a slave to the world or we're yoked to God, or, you know, it's either or. It's, you know, there's no other option there. Amen?
Yeah.
Point number 5, to be able to come into this place of liberty and victory, there is a spiritual death that we must suffer. Now, I shared a story about a man in Romania that was afraid of death, and it was just, you know, the Lord gave me some thoughts about death as we were out evangelizing in his village, but that was a physical death. But before we can be set free from that physical death, there is a spiritual death that we all must come into. Romans 6:7 says, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now, that is not a physical death where, you know, a heart stops beating. That spiritually that Paul was talking about there. When we are spiritually dead, then we are free from sin. Psalms 116 and 15 says, precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Again, that is not talking about a physical death. That is talking about a spiritual death. Amen? You know, everybody wants to be called a saint, but, you know, it's kind of amazing. You have to be dead to become a saint. You have to die to become a saint. Not too many people want to die. Maybe that's why there's not a lot of saints out there. But we have to be dead to be called a saint. Amen? Point number 6, the spiritual death is the very thing that takes us into the glorious liberty of being called a son of God.
Wow.
That spiritual death that we all go into, that we're baptized into the death of Christ, not into the life of Christ. If we want to have that resurrection life, then we have to be baptized into his death. And that is not a physical death, but that is a spiritual death. And when we're baptized into the death of Christ, spiritually speaking, then we can become a son or daughter of God. Point number 7, we know we have passed from death into life. That's a spiritual death because we have love for the brother. And it's 1 John 3:14. Wow. We know we have passed from death spiritually unto life because we have love for the brethren. Wow. And point number 8 is 1 Peter 4:7-8. The measure of our spiritual life will equal our ability to die to ourselves and love the brethren. Let me say that again. Tremendous point. The measure of our spiritual life, how much life that we have. Of course, if we want to have that spiritual life, then we have to die spiritually. But the measure of our spiritual life will equal our ability to die. So the more we can die, as we have, you know, the more love we have, the more faith that we will have. Well, the more that we can die to ourselves, to our dreams, to our emotions, to our plans, and all these things that we want to have, the more we can die to that as God kills us through his dealing and judgments, then the more spiritual life we will have. So if we don't die to ourselves, if our flesh is alive and well, and if we want to do what we want to do and go where we want to go and say what we want to say, well, then there will be no spiritual life in us. I have seen that all of my life in so many would-be Christians. Amen? Let's go ahead and move on to what the Lord would have us today. And so what we're going to talk about today is we wilderness, biblical elements for daily living, and we're talking about present preparation for future purpose. Wow. Present preparation for future purpose. And we have 1 Corinthians 13:12 as the text, and we'll go ahead and I will go ahead and talk about that verse as I go through the teaching for the day. Here, Brother Paul shares with us, for now we see through a glass. Now, that in the Hebrew, that as a glass, that's all translated as one word, and that's mystery. So the Bible, all throughout the Bible, it talks about mystery. Mystery, you know, the mystery of the Godhead, you know, the mystery of the Holy Spirit. And so there, that paints a picture of a mystery. So we're looking through this glass that we can't see, and, you know, it's dark, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, kind of can see a little bit, we kind of have an understanding here and there and a little bit, but then shall I know even as I am known, even as I am known. And we will see at the end what Paul was talking about there. Amen? So let's go ahead and get into present preparation for future purpose. This first sentence is key right here, so if you have your notes. The key to future purpose is hidden in the present preparation through relationship. Wow. That is a powerful, powerful thought right there. The key to future purpose, whatever you want to do in the future, whatever, you know, whatever you feel God wants you to do, that's hidden, that's that mystery, it's hidden in the present preparation through relationship. So whatever you are doing through relationship, that present preparation, that will be the key for you to be successful in the future. Relationship between the Lord first and family, and our Christian brothers and sisters second. That is always the relationship. It's our relationship with the Father, and then after that, with our relationship with our spouse, with our family, then with our Christian brothers and sisters. Do not get that mixed up. That is the order. That is the spiritual order. It's God, family, then Christian brothers, and church, and all that good stuff. That is critical that we maintain that. If not, then we will go ahead and get in trouble. We may never know the treasures of wisdom that God has hidden, that mystery, in our brothers and our sisters because of our desire not to know someone. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you see somebody and you will look at them and you go, oh my gosh, what a loser. Man, I mean, you know, I remember a good friend of mine, his name was Tony Ross, and he described my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn, the first time he saw him. He said, he looked at Charles Hahn, and he said, "What can this man teach me? I have never seen such a man that knew nothing." But then he opened up his mouth, and he opened up the word of life to me. And that is so true. So many times we see people and you know, we discount them and, you know, they don't know anything. But in reality, what has God hid in them that, that we need to know? 1 Corinthians 2:7, Brother Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a," there's that word again, "mystery." Don't you know life is a mystery, right? Life is a mystery. And God purposely has life as a mystery. Life is supposed to be a mystery. If it's not a mystery and it'll be all laid out for us, then, you know, I kind of like that concept where life is a mystery and I got to depend upon the Lord and kind of open up, you know, that mystery to me. Wow. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the world unto us, our glory, or unto our glory. So this mystery that God has in life and all the other mysteries in the world, all of these have been put in place before the foundations of the world was laid. Wow. Our walk with God often is a mystery to us. Amen? I like that. But as we allow God to, and this is the key, to work in our lives through His dealing and His judgments, showing us who we are, or maybe who we are not, He will be able to open up His mysteries. Whether we allow God to open up the mysteries that He has for us does not depend upon God or on your spouse or your friend, but they depend upon you. Will you do those things that God requires of us for Him to go ahead and show us the mysteries that He has for us? The tendency of many believers is to seek ministry and or activity rather than relationship. Wow. The tendency of many believers is to seek ministry. Everybody's got to have a ministry. What's your ministry, brother? Well, I don't know. What do you do, brother? Well, God has, you know, so everybody's out there trying to seek a ministry and or some kind of activity. Well, I'm going to feed the poor and I'm going to clothe the poor. And, you know, we're out there doing all of these good religious things. But ministry comes out of relationship. Ministry, true ministry, comes out of relationship. Jesus' ministry came out of His relationship with His Father and the other disciples. And I've been saying this for years and years, and I'm going to continue to say it. All godly ministry comes out of godly relationships. All godly ministry comes out of godly relationships. And I can see that when I first started traveling in 1996, how important godly relationships. And as I develop godly relationships with people around the world, then godly ministry happened in so many things. Unfortunately, so many people have so many ideas of what ministry is, and they end up not to be a godly ministry. They just end up to be a ministry doing something, and not much happens because of that lack of relationship. We can easily mistake the present preparation or ministry and or the activity or whatever the Lord is having us do as the fulfillment of the purpose. But ministry itself is not the purpose. Let me say that again. Ministry is not the purpose, but a means to bring us into the fulfillment of His future purpose, whatever that may be. It is not important what we do. You know that? It's not. It's really not important what your ministry is. It's not. That's irrelevant. When you stand before God, you know, He's not going to say, "Well, I gave you this ministry, and how did you do that?" and so forth. That's not even going to come up. When we stand before the Lord, He's going to go ahead, and He's going to look at us, and He's going to see what type of relationship. We will be judged. We will receive rewards, not based on what we did, but how we did them. we will receive our rewards based upon our relationship with Him. But the only thing that He's going to be concerned about is that we have a relationship with Him. Wow. So it's not important what we do, but what is important is how we do things. Jesus, I think it was Luke 8:18, Jesus told the disciples, be careful how you hear, not what you hear. Because Ted, you can't help what you hear. You can stick your fingers in your ears and you can still hear something, but you're still going to hear. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about how we hear. Do we hear things with a soft heart? You know, and do we hear things, you know, with the right motive and so forth and so on. Amen? What is God's purpose in our lives? Wow, what a question. What is God's purpose in our lives? Paul alludes to this in our text. Amen? For now we see through a dark, you know, through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and that's that mystery, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now listen, God's purpose in our lives is to give us vision. Wow. God's purpose, it's not for us to do things, you know. We're not supposed to go, you know, because we love Him and He loves us, and we have attained to certain levels of maturity in Him, then He counts on us to handle some responsibilities in the kingdom of God. But that's not the work, it's not the reason. It is not the reason. Amen? God's purpose in our lives is to give us vision to Him and His ways and to bring us to fulfillment. Everything God made, plants and trees and animals, even man has purpose. But only man can have fulfillment and vision. Let me say that again. Only man can have fulfillment and vision. Our walk with God is not about purpose. It's not about purpose. Or even unity of effort and all of those other buzzwords that the nominal church likes to say. But our walk with God is about vision and fulfillment with God and with our brothers and our sisters. And I will tell you, if God cannot use us in that, then He cannot use us. We may do the work. We may build a building. We may travel around the world and preach the gospel and so forth and so on. But that may not be a godly work. The work will get done, but it will not be the purpose and the fulfillment that God is looking for in that. So I have a question. How clear is your vision at the present? Has it become more clear than what you have seen in the past? How clear is your vision at present? Has it become more clear than what you have seen in the past? What knowledge do you now know that you have never knew before? I mean, if everyone is listening to the sound of my voice and walking with the Lord for a long time, what knowledge do you now know that you have not known before? Do you now know about yourself what the Lord knows about you? Wow, let me say that again. Do you now know about yourself what the Lord knows about you? Wow. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years. Now the word 40 there, the word 40 all throughout the Bible means testing. Now I believe it was 40 years because Moses' life was divided into three 40-year periods. He was 120 when he died. But 40 means testing, so thy God led thee testing years in the wilderness. Now notice there's four things here in Deuteronomy 8 and 2 why God led them for 40 years in for a specific way. The first is to humble them. Make no mistake, if God is going to be able to use us and bring us to a vision and a fulfillment, He's going to have to humble us. God can't do much with a proud person. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. The second is to prove us. To prove thee. Wow. To prove thee. To qualify thee. You know, you just don't get things in God just to get them, you know. But time and service or time and rate, that's not the way God works. God proves us, He qualifies us for spiritual gifts and the spiritual things that He has for us. The third is to know what is in thy heart. Wow. So God led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years to show them what was in their heart. I mean, God already knew what was in their heart, but God wanted to show them what was in their heart. And number four was whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no. Wow. And that was an awareness and an understanding that God wanted the children of Israel to have, that they would keep His commandments or not. Now, all the, you know, many, many times in the wilderness, they said, all that you command us, Lord, we will do. Well, they didn't. Time and time again, they said, we will do what you ask us to do, and they didn't do that. Well, God wanted them to see in themselves what they were saying was not true. Amen? Our walk with God is so that He can show us what is in our heart. Oh, boy, I don't know about you, but that hits me hard right there. Our walk with God is so that He can show us what is in our heart. Not about doing miracles. It's not about doing ministry. It's not about doing this. It's not even really about going to heaven. You know? We're going to go to heaven. Yeah. I'm going to go to heaven. But you know what? If God cannot show me what is in my heart, then I may not make it to heaven. Wow. Unless God can humble us through His dealings and His judgments about ourselves, He will never be able to prove or qualify us to show us our heart. And that's what God desires to do. He desires to show us our heart, to show us, you know, when we look in the mirror, you know, we look in the mirror and we, wow, you know. But when we look in the mirror and you know, who is that in the mirror? Well, the only way we can really find out who that is in the mirror is when we can allow God to open up our heart and show us our heart, who we really, really are. And God desires to do that. When the Lord led the children of Israel through the wilderness, He led them in a particular way, a certain way. It was a way that would humble them and prove them. He led them in such a way that they came through each circumstance, they would be acquainted with their own heart. So each thing, each event, each circumstance that they overcame in the wilderness, they overcame that, of course, you know, in the Lord. You know, their clothes didn't wear out. They ate quail, you know, at Myra, they got water. And then all the things that God did for them, they all were done so that the people would be acquainted with their own heart. Now God leads each of us a particular way. You know, the way that can God lead you is a different way than He leads Ray. You know, but it's a particular way. It's a way that He knows that He has to lead us. And our way is different than mine or yours. But the end result, the way that God leads us into this mystery of life and the way that He has and wants us to do, the end result is so that He can show us our heart. Wow. I know this is kind of deep, but this is true. If not, then God can never trust us. God will never use us. And He'll never allow us to take our portion of responsibility to do those things that He wants us to do. Wow. So if God can't show us our heart, then He can't trust us. He just won't use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. They would come into a knowledge of themselves that they never knew or never had known before, though the Lord has already knew what was in their heart. He wanted to bring them to a place that they know even as they are known. And that's what, you know what the text verse, but then shall I be known even as I am known. And that is a knowing of ourselves, an understanding of ourselves that we know, we know. Now, we kind of know what God knows about us. See, when God can show us our heart, and God knows our heart already, then we kind of know what God knows about us. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. We are already known by God, aren't we? But do we know ourselves? We are already known by God, but how much do you know about yourself? Wow. Whatever we are presently doing or going through is a preparation for becoming. Let me say that again. Whatever we are presently doing or going through is a preparation for becoming. You know, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. God is more concerned about us becoming something in Him than doing something for Him. Let me say it again. God is more concerned about us becoming something in Him than us doing something for Him. The people asked Jesus here in John 6:28, then said unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They wanted to do ministry. They wanted to do the ministry. But Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He has sent me. Wow. So they want to do the ministry, but Jesus wanted them to come to know, to change, to be made like Him. Wow. It is in the Lord's leading and dealing our life that we can come face to face with ourselves. Let me say that again. It is in the Lord's leading and dealing in our lives that we can come face to face with ourselves and the areas that needed matured so that we might become more like Jesus. We have to come face to face with our fears, our inabilities, and conquer them in His strength and be known as we are known. Wow. We have to come face to face with our fears, our inabilities, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures, and conquer them not in our strength, no, but in His strength, and be known as we are known. His goal is to have Christ form in us so that His Spirit can govern our flesh. Wow, what a truth. Amen. Parting thoughts. It is not what we do, but what we become that matters. I say that again. It is not what we do, but what we become that matters. The Lord is doing an eternal work in all of us. He is preparing us for eternity. And as it is in this life, we qualify for our eternal position. Just because we're saved, that might get us into heaven. That might get us into heaven. But right now, we are qualifying for our eternal position. As there are different rewards in heaven, there will be different rewards also in hell. But right now, we are qualifying, and the qualification is not what we're doing. It is not our ministry, and it's not how well I speak, and how many people come to the home group meeting, and all of that. That's not what qualifies us. It's what we become in Him is our qualifying, requirements that will give us our eternal position. Our focus is not to be our position, but our focus is to become what He desires us to become. Let me say that again. Our focus is not to be on our position, but our focus is to become what He desires for us to become. Wow. God will take care of our position. Oh, yes, He will. So whether you have a ministry or not is not the question. The question is, in the present circumstances, are we aware that He is preparing us for an eternal purpose? The eternal purpose is to know ourselves as He knows us, so that we might have the things changed that need changed and come into fulfillment of all that the Lord desires for us. Wow. Now listen closely. Take heed. Pay attention here, my friend. I'm going to get a little deep here in the end, but God will take care of our position. Yes, He will. The eternal purpose is to know ourselves as He knows us, that we might have the things changed that need changed
and coming to fulfillment of that the Lord desires for us. Then and only then will we be able, like Paul, say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You know, they say, of course I wasn't there, but many say that Paul sprinted, he ran as hard as he could to the chopping block. And when he was beheaded, I mean that's what people like Josephus, and, you know, they say, I mean, I don't know. But I can imagine Paul when he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Wow. 2 Timothy 4:7. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your mercy, Father, Lord God. Lord God, I would ask that you would be able to show us, Father, Lord, ourselves, and show us our heart, Father, Lord, so that we can see those things that need to be changed in our lives, and so that we can become more like you, Father. We just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. You don't have a magic wand and you don't bump it in the head and we're going to change here and change there, Father. But Lord, you reveal your nature and your character to us, Father, Lord God. And then you reveal our heart to us and we see it's not like you, Father, Lord God. Then Lord, strengthen us with might in the inward man so that we'll have the courage and the ability, Father, Lord God, to change, to be more like you. And then we will be known, Father, Lord God, as we are known by you. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. Bless this word to all those in that hear it, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.